the book of Job.
I'd like to ask you a question this morning. What's your favorite food? I would think at least a few in this room would say Italian. I would think a few. There might be some that would say Italian food, all right? Yeah. Buon appetito. But for some of us, it may be more difficult to pinpoint a particular food. We like it all. I had a health teacher when I was in high school. He was an interesting guy. He was about 6'2", I guess, and weighed about 145 pounds. And he had a sort of a motto. He said, you know, there are people who live to eat. Now, I know he was looking right at me and other Italians that were in the class, but then he said, there are those who eat to live. And I thought, that's sad. But most of us enjoy good food and the privilege to partake. Here there are plenty of good restaurants, and there are brothers and sisters in Christ who enjoy opening their homes and fellowshipping, and food always is a vital part of that. And as we're thinking about what our favorite food is, I want to begin this morning at chapter 2 in this three-act drama of Job and pick up the third round. Now his three friends, who we know have not been very friendly, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, have actually gone on the attack. They have rebuked Job severely. And each time they have rebuked him, he has brought a rebuttal. When we get to the third round, we're only going to have two of the three who will participate, Eliphaz and Bildad. We won't hear from Zophar again. And so at chapter 22, 1, round 3 begins, and Eliphaz, the Temanite, replies, can a man be a benefit to God? Can even a wise man benefit him? What pleasure would it give the Almighty if you were righteous? Remember, they have been attacking his righteousness, his right living before the Lord. Practical righteousness. And as they have attacked, he has responded very clearly that as far as he is able to determine, as far as he knows before God, he has been living right. He does not claim perfection. He recognizes that he can only have a relationship with God by God's mercy. That's true. But the suffering he is experiencing, he cannot relate to. He can't get a hold of, because it would seem that he is suffering at the hand of God for no just cause. His friends believe there is a just cause. He's a sinner. He's hidden somehow under the guise of being a good guy. So Eliphaz, you know, says, even if you were righteous, you know, what benefit would that be to God? But let's be honest, Job. Is it for your righteousness, that he rebukes you and brings charges against you? Obviously a rhetorical question. You're not going through this for good reason. It's because you're getting what you deserve. Is not your wickedness great? Are not your sins endless? Now you remember when they first came, they saw his condition, they sat down, they identified with him, they didn't say a word, But when he began to pour out his heart before God, they began to respond, and the rebukes began by suggesting that an unrighteous person suffers in this life. Now, they didn't begin by saying, Job, you're unrighteous. They didn't begin by saying, Job, you're a sinner. They simply were stating, this is the way it is. The clobber, the sinner, suffers. Of course, the idea is, if the shoe fits, you're walking in them. But as the rebukes continue through round one and round two, they become much more personalized, much more pointed, much more specific. And they have come, at round three, as outright accusations, false accusations about this man Job. There's nothing to substantiate what now Eliphaz throws at him. Here it comes. You demanded security from your brothers for no reason. You stripped men of their clothing, leaving them naked. You gave no water to the weary. And you withheld food from the hungry. Though you were a powerful man, owning land, an honored man, living on it. And you set widows away empty-handed. And broke the strength of the fatherless. That is why snares are all around you. Why sudden peril terrifies you. It is so dark you cannot. And why a flood of water covers you. Is not God in the heights of heaven? And see how lofty are the highest stars. Yet you say, does God know? Does he judge through such darkness that clouds veil him so he does not see us as he does, as he goes about in the vaulted heavens? Will you keep to the old path that evil men have trod? They were carried off before their time. Their foundations washed away by a flood. They said, what will the Almighty do to us yet? It was he who filled their houses with good things. So I stand aloof from the counsel of... Now, that's an interesting statement he makes there because he's really just throwing right back into space what Job said earlier to them. I don't have anything to do with wicked men. And he's saying, now, look, I don't take the side of the wicked. I'm taking the side of God. And it's quite obvious, as we have been telling you time and time again, evil behavior begets suffering. Good behavior begets blessing. Good guys prosper. Bad guys suffer. Job has made it very clear. You don't have the whole picture. That's not true. Well, we know that in some way God has been gracious to us all, yet it was he who filled their houses with good things. You know, they've had, but you see, they get it now. They get judged now. Even though they've had it pretty good, we've witnessed how they get it. Judgment falls on them. In fact, those of us who are righteous, really righteous, we enjoy seeing justice come to see their ruin and rejoice. The innocent mock them, saying, surely our foes are destroyed and devours their wealth. Therefore, Job, submit to God. Be at peace with him. In this way, prosperity will come. Accept instruction from his mouth and lay up his words in your heart. Job has continually said, I want to hear from God. So far, what I know, what I have known of God, I have obeyed. Now, if there's something I don't know, I want to hear from him about. Listen, they say. Accept instruction from his mouth. Let his words in your heart. If you return to the Almighty, you will be restored. If you remain far from your tent and assign luggage to the dust, your gold to Ophir, to the rocks of the ravines, then the Almighty will be your gold. The choice is silver for you. Surely then you will find delight in the Almighty and will lift up peace to God. This is biblically true. When we come to God, when we repent, when we turn and confess that we have sinned, He shall and will prosper, bless us spiritually. And that blessing, that fellowship with Him, right? First, we walk in the light as He is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. When we kiss our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We experience the fullness of blessings that come being in a practical, right relationship with Him. This is biblical. In fact, it's almost a perfect expression of Psalm 51. He goes on, "You will pray to Him and He will hear you, and you will fulfill your vows. What you decide on will be done, and light will shine on your way." See, we walk in the light as He is in the light. "When men are brought low and you say, 'Lift them up,' then He will save the downcast. He will deliver even one who is not innocent, who will be delivered through the cleanness of your hands." When we are in a right relationship with God, this is what David expressed in Psalm 51. He came to grips with his own personal sin, recognizing that he was miserable. But when he confessed, he now not only was cleansed, he became what? A channel of healing to others. When he was not in that condition, when he was living in his sin, he was not the conduit. He was not the vehicle that God could use to bless others. In fact, others turned a deaf ear. And that's so true in our lives. This is biblically sound advice. The problem again is, it's misapplied. This is true, but not applicable to Job. So Job is going to reply. And his reply, and I want you to notice in the opening verses of this reply, this rebuttal, is focused on God. Notice the pronoun that you're going to see here. See, he